Welcome to this specially produced Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. I'm away on my holidays at the moment, so that means that we're not going to have a full show this week. It's going to be one question sent in by a listener to the show and answered by Mark Garraway and myself, David Hinchliffe. Don't worry if you are a new listener to the show or a regular listener and you're wondering where the full half-hour show is. We'll be back to normal on the 25th of September 2015. Enjoy the show. Okay, so the question for this week's show is from Tom. And Tom keeps it short. He says, how important is arm speed in creating revolutions on the ball? So he's a bit of a spinner, leg spinner, Tom, our Tom. He wants to know about the importance of the speed of the arm. What do we think, Gareth?
Well, yeah, I think it is important, and we know that it's important as well. The kinetic chain, we talk about it a lot in relation to fast bowling, to spin, to hitting, to throwing, is crucial. And if we can use that kinetic chain effectively, then we increase our arm speed. And if our arm speed is increased, then the momentum that goes up into our wrists and our fingers, depending on what we're trying to do with the ball, is increased as well. And then it's all about how you apply it, isn't it? You know, because obviously if the fingers are going across the ball or the wrist is going across the ball, then it is going to increase the amount of revolutions on it. So yeah, it is important to have arm speed, but the understanding of it isn't just to swing your arm through the air as quickly as you possibly can. It's about generating that naturally by using the ground forces up through the legs into the hips and into the shoulders, up the arm and then into the fingers. So my starting point would always be from the ground up, and that's how you increase arm speed and then increase revolutions. But you've got to apply the force, not directly behind the ball like you would do for a seam bowler in the Ian Pont and Stephen Jones way. You've got to apply it in a different way across the ball to get the ball to rotate through the air.
I guess there is a lot of focus. I think leg spinners especially focus on this. They focus on arm and wrist and that area a lot more than they focus on the whole action together as one thing from the moment that you start your run up through to the moment that you follow through. It's it often happens that you get a question about the position of the wrist or the position of the arm, the angle of the arm or the speed of the arm. And the question is focusing on one very specific part, but sometimes you need to take a more holistic look at things.
Well, you do, but when you know the question's about putting revolutions on the ball, and arm speed is a crucial element of that. But there's so many facets, just as you say. So, if for example we get our arm beyond perpendicular, then when we bowl, say a leg spinner, and we've got our arm beyond perpendicular, it makes it very difficult for us to get the ball to drift in an appropriate fashion and to do exactly what we want it to do. So that's one element of it, the way that the wrist is positioned. So you see quite a few, and I'm writing an article at the moment actually on wrist spinners that get the ball to really flick out the side. So like the Shane Warne and the Bennos and whatever the world, and then you've got the ones who come more out the front, like an Anil Kumble, for example, you know, somebody who didn't really come around the side and put a massive amount of side spin on the ball. So that has an impact on the outcome as well. But in terms of producing arm pace and revolutions on the ball, the more you can use the whole of your body, the better. And we talked about boxing and we talk about hitting the cricket ball. It all is the kinetic chain, really. And the better we get at using ground forces and using our hips, which are the midpoint of a kinetic chain, the better. And we've discussed that long and hard, not just about spin bowling, but about all the disciplines on this show, and hopefully that point is getting through to people. But yeah, it's crucial to have arm speed. You look at Swanee's, you know, Swanee was a classic one. He had a really, really quick arm. And in fact, going back many years ago to the early 90s, I remember working with Bob Warmer in South Africa. And there was a chap in my school side called Claude Henderson, who's now the spin bowling coach for South Africa. And at the time, they were talking to me about the importance of having this is way back, having a slow front arm and a quick bowling arm. And why was that? So you put more revolutions on the ball. And whilst we didn't have the scientific understanding of a kinetic chain back in those days, the principles were understood to a point, and you know, they don't change now.
When it comes to fast bowling, one of the touchstones that we have now is the four temp pegs, the four positions that is really useful for bowlers to understand and to get the right feeling, and for coaches to have a more of a template. Is there any changes to that template when you're talking about spin bowlers?
In terms of sequencing, not massively. Because if you, let's take point of release, and you look at the best spin bowlers in the world, at point of release, their release position will be out in front of them, particularly the ones that manage to get the most revolutions and get the ball to spin the most. The commonality is that they release the ball out in front of them, very similar to the fastest bowlers, release the ball in front, a long way in front of their heads rather than over the top of it, which is what we thought fast bowlers used to do years ago, until we started to look into it properly with the appropriate technology. So that's a similar thing. The fact that we're all front on when we let go of the ball is something that's a commonality. The fact that the hips have done their business and have squared up and then transferred momentum up the torso into the shoulders, which then square up and then the arms come over. So that the similarities are very much very the same. What we tend to find is the main difference, I suppose, in an extremely quick fast bowler as opposed to an extremely quick, extremely big spinner of the ball, is delivery stride length is something that does tend to change. But even then, somebody like Shane Warne had, for a spinner, a long delivery stride, which contributed to him being able to use his kinetic chain really well and get a lot of pace going up through his arm into his wrist and a lot of revolutions on the cricket ball. So there are a lot of commonalities, but the one that's a general one would be that the delivery stride length isn't quite so considerable. You often see people with their back foot on the stump line and then the front foot somewhere near the front foot line, as opposed to a lot of fast bowlers that now land their back foot way back behind the stump line. So that's the main difference. And in fact, I'm just watching a game of cricket where an off spinner's bowling now, and he's landing back foot on the stump line and front foot inside the no ball line, and that's what we generally see with spinners, whereas fast bowlers we get a bit further apart.
Would you say there's more variation between spinners than there is between fast bowlers, or does it just seem that way because there are perhaps more spinners who are slow bowlers rather than actually be spinners compared to, you know, fast bowlers, where if you're a fast bowler, you're a fast bowler?
I think that's a great question. It's probably not one that I've thought about a great deal. That's a really good question. I think we're getting to a stage now, and we want individuality to go over, and Steph talks about it, doesn't he, is idiosyncrasies in fast bowling. I think there are a lot of idiosyncrasies in spin bowling, and there are a lot less spin bowling coaches than there are fast bowling coaches. So there's a bit more commonality, I would suggest, in fast bowling. I think a general coach would probably be more likely to have more information on fast bowling than he would do on spin bowling, and certainly from my point of view, I'm learning more about spin now at my stage in my career as a coach, as opposed to I felt fairly confident around the seam bowling for a longer period of time. So yeah, I just think there's people know more about fast bowling than they do about spin bowling as a general, and if you think about it, that makes sense, because in most cricket sides you might have four seamers and one spinner. So all around us, all around our cricketing lives, we've had more fast bowlers and seamers than we have had spinners as a general rule. The numerics of it work out that way. So you know, there's a challenge to everybody is to get really good at coaching spin. And again, an article that I've written recently is about the fact that when you look at the real legendary leg spinners throughout the history of cricket, there aren't that many. And the real sad thing from my perspective as an Englishman is that none of them are English. So nobody in England has ever mastered the art of coaching a leg spinner. And that's got to be one of our challenges going forward. as a country. And when you look back, you've got Australia have had a number of them. India and Pakistan have had a number of them. But apart from that, nobody else has seemed to have developed one, let alone world-class spinner, let alone leg spinner, let alone two or three like Australia have.
That's all for this special edition of the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the show by heading to pitchvision.com/academy and clicking on the podcast link there, and you get all the details for how to subscribe. And the normal half-hour show will be back again on the 25th of September 2015.